Thanks for joining on and continuing on with us on Niaga Awani. My name is Ibrahim Sani, taking over from my colleague Nina Rosman and the Niaga team this morning. It's a Monday morning. It's a fantastic way to start off the day with this conversation on 5G. This is because after nearly 5 months since announcing the 5G rollouts review, this Unity government has decided to maintain the status quo and continue with the single wholesale model, or SWN, under Digital National Berhad, until there is an 80% coverage of populated areas, or COPA. Communications and Digital Minister Fahmi Fadzil told the press on Wednesday last week that upon reaching 80% COPA by end of this year, the rollout will then shift to a phase two, where the nation will move to a dual wholesale network model. Under the DWN shift, or dual wholesale network shift, a separate entity which Fahmi merely dubbed as an unidentified entity B will start developing the nation's second 5G spectrum network as early as January next year. Joining us to unpack this even further is Dato Dr. Rais Hussein, CEO and President of MA Research. Doctor, the transition may seem as necessary. However, there are contractors or detractors out there that says that the single wholesale network is still needed. What are the potential benefits and drawbacks of implementing a dual wholesale network model system for 5G rollout in Malaysia as opposed to continuing with a single wholesale network model?
I think MA Research has been writing on this 5G rollout in Malaysia for more than 3 years now, over very much data science economics-based research papers on why single wholesale network should not be continued in Malaysia. And why? Simply put, single wholesale network is an abject failed model everywhere in the world. We look at 157 countries and territories successfully deployed the model of multiple wholesale network. That means introducing competition into this 5G rollout. I think that is the way forward. We should allow the government's decision or the administration's decision to transition from a single wholesale network to a double wholesale network, although the preferred model still for MA Research is the multiple wholesale network model, consistent with the global wisdom where it has been successfully deployed. Now, coming back to the fact that a single wholesale network is a failed model, obviously it diminishes competition. Anything that diminishes competition will have a challenge of its own, particularly in the telecom industry. We know that telecoms, in terms of innovation and so on, is very, they call that the gegenpress. It has a dynamic intensity in innovation. So obviously you cannot expect it to be compared to other utilities like water or electricity or road, which is doesn't really have too much of intensity in innovation. So to not to have competition in a gegenpress technology sphere is something that is not good. Secondly, when you lock yourself into one network for a period of 10 to 15 years, some says 10 years, some says asking the spectrum to be assigned for another 5 years, 15 years, then you are basically locking yourself to one provider, putting all the eggs in one basket. I think that is not the way to go. So I think at the end of the day, we are grateful that finally the administration have decided based on a rigorous review, based on data science and economics, and agreed to what MA Research has been advocating and propagating so far, that there should be competition in the infrastructure of 5G. Having said that, have a single wholesale network been implemented anywhere else? Yes, but it has a very, there's a specific reasons why single wholesale network was implemented. For instance, in Brunei, it's a small geographic size, small population, and therefore it is a logical move to use a single wholesale network. Even then, they have a very logical approach to deployment of the 5G, meaning which utilizing fully what do they have already, which is the 4G specs, and then move on and utilizing the assets that comes with it.
Dr.
So
Reyes,
I think at the end of...
Dr. Reyes, the biggest proponent or supporter of single wholesale network is none other than the Edge publisher Tan Sri Tong Kui Ong, because in his op-ed that he writes over the past few weeks now, he is definitely in support of the single wholesale network. In fact, attacking the administration in terms of going for the dual wholesale network. Some of the arguments presented is this. Number one, it remains a mystery, according to him, why Fahmi Fazil led the charge against DNB and the single wholesale network model. That's the first postulation. The second is that he is comparing and contrasting DNB, or the Digital National Network Berhad, Digital National Berhad, as not being similar to 1MDB. Arguments like 1MDB is an MOF-owned company, but DNB isn't. There is a SecGen that is involved in the DNB oversight and many more. And the third postulation that he makes is that the press is disparaging DNB to a point where he feels the need or compelled to defend DNB. Why would these kind of arguments be presented by none other than Tan Sri Tong Kui Ong? And why is this being carried still by the Edge right now?
I think this is a valid question that one should ask Tong, why he is overwhelmingly and passionately defending a proven failed model worldwide. That is something that is bizarre, especially a publication like The Edge, which is a business weekly and business daily, advocating monopoly. It's unthinkable. But having said that, I think this is not something that only Fahmi talked about or only this present administration talked about. Even GSMA, the body that represents all the mobile network operators of the world, and through their GSMA intelligence over a period of time, have clearly stated that the single wholesale network is a proven failure. Look at what happened in South Africa, look at what happened in Mexico, look what happened in Rwanda. And these Rwanda people, they quickly realized that the problem was there, and then they make the change. They make change much earlier, and then they are on the pathway to greater 5G deployment. So we need to be very mindful of what we say. I mean, just because one has a owner media and he can write whatever on his media, but depriving other analysts from presenting their views is also something that we need to think about. Why, in this case, as you rightly put, Tong has been very passionate about it, about this particular monopoly model that sometimes some people try to equate it with utilities like water. Now, water, what innovations that you can do on water supply? Telecom is a different thing. Today's advanced technology can be tomorrow's, yesterday's, what we call technology. So things are totally different. I use the word gegenpress. The intensity of innovation in telecoms is far superior than other utilities combined. So I think sometime there's a book called How to Lie with Statistics, written by Darren Hall. People have read that many times. Only if some people can have access to flux capacitor, I like to use the word, to go back in the future. We are lucky. We are already late 3 years. We were in the right footing in the beginning when there was an auction and there was a spectrum assigned to telcos and they were on their way to do it. And sudden intervention to move into the single wholesale network by creating DNB, who's largely basically a project manager come contract assigner. And that created a layer between the consumer and also the provider and the mobile network operators. I think we are very, very clear. I mean, 157 countries and territories cannot be wrong.
Yeah.
And this is from the data science and economics, they've deployed that. Unless Tong must have some kind of wisdom that's extraterrestrial, that he feels that a single wholesale network or monopoly is the way forward in a high technological innovation spectra of sphere.
One argument that I find interesting that was presented by The Edge, not necessarily Tong, but The Edge this weekend, is on the notion of Fahmi Fazil saying that 80% COPA, 80% coverage of COPA being done by DNB by the end of this year, then the second phase will kick in. The argument that was presented by The Edge is that if more than 80% of the nation is already covered by 5G by DNB, what is the rationale of building another network? Surely it will be more costly, and the MNOs that built it will pass the cost back to their customers, and in order to maximize profit since they are privately owned. This kind of argument, I'm not in this in the sphere of telecommunications the way you are, for instance, being working in the telco sector for the past 20 odd years. Do you feel that this argument is valid?
I think it is completely invalid. Why it is invalid, let me explain to you. Until today, DNB has not defined clearly what is the coverage of populated area. Is it a blanket coverage of populated area, or is it just like having a mere presence? Is it indoor, outdoor coverage? It was never defined. And GSMA Intelligence have come up with a white paper which says that COPA is not a good KPI to determine the good deployment or rollout of 5G. In fact, they went on talking about innovation on the infrastructure, innovation on the service provisioning, and more importantly, adoption. And when we look at Malaysia's adoption of 5G as of end of last year, maybe it's 2022 or maybe January 2023, our adoption has been 1%. So we have 57.8% COPA that has been declared by the minister recently. But why there's only 1% adoption? What happened? Why nobody is talking about the adoption part of the 5G? So I think for them to write saying that if they achieve the 80% and therefore the new provider will not be able, will not be able to compete and they will pass on it. Look, Fahmi Fazil is a very smart person. What he did, he said that the prices that the consumer and customer would likely to see is the benchmark pricing that the DNB already been talking about. I mean, I'm talking about the wholesale price per gigabyte. And as we speak, due to the maturity of 5G in some nations, technology and advancements have shown that not everyone needs 5G. In fact, in Barcelona recently, they have specific session when in the World Mobile Congress, they did specific session is 5G for all. And with this technology advancement, as we speak, due to the 5G maturity in some markets, they found out that not many applications that has use on a gigabyte level. So again, let us be, let's the master do the job. Let's not some a former banker and a media owner writing about certain things and talking about certain things. And again, strangely, supporting and advancing monopolistic businesses when you are a business daily and business weekly. I think we need to be very circumspect. We need to understand. And we need to still, it's curious in my mind, that why a business daily like Edge, a business weekly like Edge is advancing a monopolistic, and obviously it's not unjust to compare that to utilities like water, which has no technology innovation or much less technology innovation as compared to telecoms. The gegenpress in intensity is huge, and do not forget, you are talking about 7,000 sites versus 40,000 sites among the telcos. How are you ever going to compete with the telcos? That is why when Celcom, I think, announced that they are pulling out from the equity participation of the DNB, what happened to the Celcom stock? It went up. You are beginning to excite the stock market. You are beginning to enable the telcos to be able to raise funds. Capitals are coming in, economic activities will happen. This is how a competitive model should be. This is how economy should be. So let us allow people who knows the business, people who knows how to do it. Again, in terms of pricing, costing and all that, you have MCMC. MCMC can regulate the pricing, the consumer pricing in a very stringent way. So I think at the end of the day, let us move forward and do the right thing. I think the government and this administration have done the right thing by liberalizing and allowing competition into UNI. Can you imagine you are stuck into one network for a period of 10 to 15 years? You are deprived of global innovation or by other providers. I think this is absurd. And I think the decision made by the government, and I must salute Fahmi and also the Prime Minister to take a bold step saying that enough is enough. Let us do the right thing for the people, for the many.
What potential challenges, Doc, do you see that might arise in implementing a dual wholesale network system, considering that we've been doing single wholesale for the past few years? How do you think that these challenges can be addressed?
I think immediately there will be, I hope, the telcos will start congregating and aggregating and deciding on the way forward. I think I'm a researcher, have written many of us on the way forward with regards to, obviously, our preference is always multiple wholesale network, but never mind. It's a transition from the proven failed single wholesale network to a more acceptable double wholesale network, and hopefully, eventually, multiple wholesale network. Now, in terms of challenges, you must remember these telcos, they already have about 40,000 base station or point of presence or sites for their mobile. They have towers down and everything. So for them to be able to deliver this service will be quicker, faster. And if you open up the 700 megahertz spectrum for them, and they will be able to tweak even on the existing 4G platform to enable 5G platform. Remember, I keep on repeating, many people do not understand. They feel that 5G is needed everywhere. Even in urban settings, sometimes 5G is not needed. If you look at South Korea deployment, how do they deploy it? You look at Singapore, how they do their deployment. In South Korea, for instance, they deploy 5G in the industrial area where there is immediate and urgent need of 5G capabilities for their IoT-enabled manufacturing plant. So, again, we need to be very, very mindful. I think the challenges will be, obviously, there are many telcos will be vying to be the second. I think the administration and government should choose the right candidate to spearhead the second network, at least for now, and then let them do their business. Do not forget, some of these telcos or MNOs, mobile network operators, have signed up access to the DNB network. So that will continue. My view is that eventually DNB should be taken over by the telcos, MNOs, so that you have block one MNOs and block two MNOs, and they can compete. Let the competition be. And MCMC, the government will regulate the industry through MCMC, through to the regulator. And in that way, you let the business people to do the stuff. So assuming they run away from coverage or run away from the costing, MCMC can come in. And remember, all telcos or MNOs are providing funds through the USP fund. So at the end of 2019, there was about 10 billion ringgit or 10.6 billion ringgit in the coffers of MCMC. Now, if you talk about reducing digital divide and all that, what is that fund for? It shouldn't be staying in the MCMC coffers forever. I know there are some initiatives like Jendela, there are some initiatives. So,
based on spending money, it's free to spend. Spend the money based on outcome and impact to the people. So, so we will not have people going up to the trees and try to connect.
The next 5 minutes or so, I want to spend a little bit more time in terms of how the shift towards the dual wholesale network system may impact consumer choice and pricing for 5G services. What we have in the press right now is that the DNB's wholesale 5G price to MNOs is 13 cents per gigabyte, which is below the average of the 4G price that MNOs are now charging their customers, myself included. This means that MNOs can sell 5G at well below what they charge for customers under the DNB system. But of course, with the new dual wholesale network, we're looking at this price of 13 cent per gigabyte might be pushed up. And of course, you're right. I was there at the MWC conference as well with you in Barcelona. And yes, I too did attend some of the conferences that says that not everyone needs 5G. And in fact, if you don't see the upside of 5G, then surely 5G is not for you. Stick to 4G. So that is the argument against 5G detractors saying that, okay, what's the point of having 5G? Even I don't use it. You know, so MWC is like, it's fine. If you don't use it, it's not for you. Then it's somebody else that might use it. Most importantly, 5G is for industrial usage and those that require high data throughput and low latency as well. That is the kind of users that might be benefiting from 5G. So now you have the people or the type of users that might use 5G. That's one type. Another is that the price per gigabyte might be pushed up because of the whole dual wholesale network system. How do you see this being rationalized? Do you see the regulator coming in and arguing or trying to regulate a price where it is palatable for consumers now that we have two wholesale networks? Or do you feel that the market forces will sort itself out considering that it's no longer a monopolistic way of doing things?
I think constructive engagement will continue between the MCMC and the local telco players. I think that is a very important aspect of everything, number one. And number two, remember the costing per gigabyte that BNB always talk about is on the wholesale level, not at the retail end. So it's just an introduction, another layer before reaching the consumer. So my take is that if the dual wholesale network model is going to be there, I think the price will be at least equal or lower to that of has been offered by DNB on a per gigabit basis at the wholesale level. So I think at the end, it will benefit the customer and the consumer. Having said that, MCMC has complete regulatory powers. They can always dictate that. I think the minister was very candid in saying that the prices, the benchmarking is already there in the market. So I believe that with increased competition, usually when there's a competition, the prices will go down. And again, remember, these telcos can use and ride over their existing assets nationwide. They have their existing towers, and these towers are shared. Not necessarily if the towers is owned by Celcom, Maxis cannot be there, or vice versa. So I think the sharing of infrastructure, the sharing of existing assets, the utilization of the existing assets, riding on the existing asset will all contribute to the reduction of overall cost. So I think let us see how it will move forward. Logically speaking, data science and economics will tell you with competition and using the existing infrastructure in every aspect of it will only reduce the cost further.
Okay. Finally, Doctor, I would like to also explore the kind of relationship that the MNOs might now have with DNB because the dual wholesale network system is also part of their, making. How do you think the, relationship will be? Will we see more MNOs doing what Celcom Digi is doing in terms of not buying equity inside DNB? I know you said there's a block one, block two kind of hypothetical scenario. Do you think that that is the way forward now, realistically speaking even?
If I'm a telco, why would I want to take up equity on DNB when I do not even have access to much of how they do stuff? The due diligence were not completely allowed. Access to the agreements and documents of liabilities that DNB has chucked up till now. We do not know. So as a telco, why would I want to take up and put my neck on an entity where I have not been given a complete cooperation with regards to due diligence? So for me, if I'm a telco, what I will do now, exactly what Celcom did, and you see how market reacted to it. The market reacted positively. That shows market is telling the government, the administration, your decision is a correct decision, and let's move on. And I think the relationship between DNB and MNOs will be a relationship between a wholesale provider and somebody who's taking the wholesale services to be packaged and repackaged and to be sold as a retail provider. So if you can deliver a good quality at a good price, mind you, what's the number of point of presence or towers or sites that the DNB is going to give? 7,000, right? 7,000 sites. What is the sites and point of presence and base stations and the telcos combined have? 40,000. So let's see. So 40,000 versus 7,000 answers your questions logically. But again, I wish one day Awani will invite Tong and myself so we can discuss this openly and publicly on live TV so that at least he can make his case there and I can make my case there and let the people decide. But the good news is that the decision made by the administration, the Anwar Ibrahim administration, is a correct one. We shouldn't have monopoly in the telecom space. We shouldn't have the monopoly in the high-intensity innovation sector, unlike water or the attempts to associate water utilities with this is simply not proper. And on top of that, there were also claims that we go one network because they have promised the sky and the moon and investment and so on. So next time, your criteria of procurement is what? You will reinvest? What's the ratio between the reinvestment amount and the amount that the government or the people are going to spend? Are we going to issue another sukuk? Are we going to issue a sukuk against what? Spectrum? Are you going to monetize the spectrum? GSMA have clearly said that extreme monetization of spectrum is something not any government should do if they really think about the people. So are we going to say that you have 10 to 15 years of spectrum exclusive to one provider, say like DNB, and then you raise a sukuk or a bond against it, and who's going to be liable? Again, you're going back to the contingent liabilities by the government, payment by the people. So I think let us be sincere for once. Let us be clever for once. And I think the administration have shown the sincerity and cleverness in determining that the competitive model, the end to the monopoly, is the way forward. I think that is how it should be. Ibrahim, you are in the technology sphere for a very long time. You understand that innovation is very, very fluid, very dynamic. What is beautiful and in today may be out tomorrow. So how can you lock yourself for 10 to 15 years of one provider, one network? You lock yourself out of the global innovation capabilities by others. I think this is bad, right? So I think finally, alhamdulillah, the government, the administration has done a good job. They reviewed, by the way, they took a long time. Sometimes I think they really, really took a long time. They're supposed to do it 2 months ago. They listen to everyone. They hear to everyone. Everybody wants to say something. Yeah. Even the embassies have started telling something about not forgetting that we got our independence in 1957.
Yeah.
That's 66 years ago.
Yeah.
So I think the decision is good.
Yeah.
Now we need to do the way forward.
Better late than never, Datuk. That was Datuk Dr. Rais Hussein, the CEO and President of MA Research. Continue to stay with us on Niaga Awani. I'm Ibrahim Sani. Catch you in the next one.